Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. So if you guys are anything like me and you struggle with allergies, raise your hand because I am right there with you. I get super itchy throat, itchy ears, and I sneeze like a crazy woman. And it really does prevent me from wanting to take my daily walks with my husband. But luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. It is designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieves your allergy symptoms and decongests your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and an itchy nose and sinus congestion and pressure with an ease, which is exactly what I need. So I have been using them anytime that I have allergies, which has been many, many times. I have found that it has definitely helped me so much where I can go outside again and enjoy my day. So if you guys are ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it is time to live Claritin Clear. It is fast and powerful relief. It's just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Struggles with porn. How to only keep eyes on each other. And just to clear the air on this really quickly.
What?
So many people like DM'd me and they were like, are you guys sharing a room? Does Caleb experience insecurities as a guy? Dun, 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 dun. Dun. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Happy and Healthy. I am your host, Janina Mapola. This is your first time listening to my podcast. Happy Tuesday. If you're listening on a Tuesday, I drop these every single Tuesday.
Club going up on a Tuesday.
So my boyfriend Caleb is joining me on today's podcast. So welcome, Caleb, to the chat. Can we have the sound effect?
Give me a sound.
Welcome, Caleb.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. It's good to be back. Thanks for having me, babe. It means so much to me.
Really?
Really.
So, welcome to the podcast. For today's episode, it's going to be a Ask Janine and Caleb questions. So, I went to my Instagram. I had you guys submit questions, and you guys submitted. You went there.
You submitted, like...
They asked some juicy questions. Y'all are a little nosy. You're just trying to get in our business.
Sometimes you guys hurt my feelings a little bit.
What you mean?
Sometimes they say things that I'm like.
Like what? What'd they say this time?
Someone said that my socks with my Birkenstocks look horrible.
I actually had a lot of people comment and roast your outfit on that.
First of all,
I didn't really care about it, to be honest.
I put the socks on for a split second. I wear them usually without socks, like I am now. Third of all,
I thought they were cute.
I do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. You know,
I'm also drinking iced coffee. Before we get into the juicy questions, we are going to do a quick little recap because Caleb and I just got back from Israel yesterday.
It's funny because
so jet lagged.
Going into Israel, you used to say Israel. Leaving Israel, we say Israel.
Yeah, some people would be like Israel, and Israel. You're like, oh, my bad. So we just got back from Israel yesterday. We are both very jet lagged.
Wiped.
Like, I feel like a pile of poop right now, which is why I have my iced coffee.
That looks like a pile of poop.
This also does, too, look like a pile of poop if you're watching the YouTube video or Spotify, which check those both out because you can watch us on both of those.
What would you prefer people to watch on YouTube or Spotify?
It doesn't really matter. I think it's just totally, like, I think for a lot of people when they're driving in the car, they'll listen to Spotify, but it's cool because you can watch us as well. Mm. But drive safe, ladies and gentlemen. But either way, I think YouTube is cool because you can comment and interact with us.
How many guys listen to your podcast?
Like 15%.
15. We got to get that number up.
Well, you're going to bring that number up.
Come on. But Israel was awesome.
It was dope. We were there for 10 days. We enjoyed it. So like I said, it was my second time. If you didn't follow me on Instagram, You probably haven't seen the trip yet, but I posted a ton. So make sure you guys go check that out. But we had an absolute blast. It was my second time there. I went with a company called Passages. They flew us out there for 10 days. And just to clear the air on this really quickly.
What?
So many people like DM'd me and they were like, are you guys sharing a room? No, we did not share a room. So that was one of the conditions when I asked Passages if they would send me, as I was like, would you guys be willing to get us two different rooms? And they said yes. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we said yes. So just to clear the air on that, because I had a lot of people ask
also,
us that.
Tell them about the first night.
So I have this really bad fear of bed bugs because I had bed bugs happen to me one time when I came back from Paris. I came back, I stayed in Airbnb for like a day and a half by myself. I was like, yeah, I'm in Paris, whatever. I thought I was living my French life. And I get home and all of a sudden I'm scratching the crap out of my body. And all these little bumps start forming and I'm like, what is going on? I end up going to the ER. And I mean, it was bad, y'all. It was on my face, my neck, my arms. And they were like, you have bed bugs. Lo and behold, I start scoping out my bed because the thing is you can bring the bed bugs home with you in your suitcase, which is why now I never leave my suitcase on the floor. I have so much PTSD. And so I immediately get to the hotel the first night and I'm like, we got to scope the beds for bed bugs. Caleb was already in his room. I was in mine. I lifted up the sheets.
I was in bed.
He was in bed ready to go to sleep. I lifted up the sheets. We're so jet lagged. We are so tired. We had the longest day ever. We get off the flight. They have us go on a hike. We're drenched in sweat. So we're all exhausted. And I'm like, I just got to know. So I lift the blanket. I take my flashlight out. And what do I see? A bed bug. Sorry, did I just came in your ear?
No, you're fine. I don't think there were bed bugs. I end up checking. There were two bugs. But I don't think they were bed bugs.
Maybe. Why would there be a bug in the bed if it wasn't a bed bug?
I think there were. There were bugs that
taking a nap.
There were bugs that happened to be.
I don't think so.
I don't think they were bed bugs.
No, I googled it and I googled images and I compared it and I'm pretty dang sure it was a bed bug.
I don't discriminate bugs and beds, but I do think it just were two bugs that happened to be in your bed.
You think they were just taking a nap with you? I don't know about that. So
you're
anyway,
so cute. I don't blame a bug for wanting to bugging on you.
That's what you do to me. You bug me all the time.
You're so funny. Anyways, so. She texts me.
I call him in a panic.
I think there's bed bugs in my bed. I'm not going to be able to sleep here, blah, 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 blah. And I take one for the team. I'm like, listen, I grew up on a farm. I'm not worried about it.
He swaps beds with me.
Like, you can stay in my room. I'll go to your room. And so I go to her bed. I fell asleep in 5 minutes. I was like, if I die, I die.
I couldn't do it. Like, if I hadn't. Knowing that I had seen a bug, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But so, he doesn't have bed bugs, so.
If that shows, slept in opposite rooms. At the same time, I get people wanting to know and living in the light
for
and everything.
Sure.
But I also do think it's a little, it's my hot take. Could you imagine asking someone you don't know?
Never.
What like, bed they're sleeping
where,
in?
Where are you sleeping
it's
tonight?
It's like, I get people want to know because.
But they that's also why I made it advice. Clear. Like on day one, I made it clear so that people wouldn't ask because I wanted to clear the air and I wanted to make sure that people knew we weren't sleeping in the same room.
If we're traveling ever with family or friends, never in the same bed.
Unless we get married, just know from here on out, we are never in the same bed, the same room. Like people always ask, and that's actually one of the questions we'll get into. But people always ask us like, how do you guys travel together? We'll get to it. But like, we try to stay purposely at places where we can separate or we can like stay with family members and we have different beds. And so we always try to plan it that way.
And
because traveling when you're not married is just difficult.
It's difficult, but at the same time, we're not having sex.
It is what it is.
We're waiting until marriage. That's our thing.
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting being obsessed with, or not obsessed. Like, I think it's an interesting question. I think it's a fair question, but I do think it's like a little weird.
Well, it's actually funny. I got a comment from like the same person like multiple times. And she was like, I refuse to believe that there's no way that you and Caleb aren't hooking up when you guys are traveling all the time together and you're always at each other's houses. There's no way you guys aren't hooking up. And we can 100% lay our hands on the Bible and confidently share, no, we are not hooking up.
Listen, do we want to hook up? Do we want to have sex? Of course. Every single day.
That's a sound bit.
Like, yes, we want to, you know, have sex. Like, of course, she's beautiful. We're attracted to each other. It's difficult. We have friends holding us accountable.
We'll get to that, but yeah.
Yeah, we're like 20 minutes in, so we need to get to the questions. But I do think most of the questions people were asking were boundary questions.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that.
And it's stuff that we talk about constantly. Like,
yeah,
you know, we do kiss, so we have to, you know, we got to be careful. There, mm-hmm. But at the same time, we're human, and it's difficult, but we want to get married soon and don't have to worry about it.
Excuse me, I had a hiccup.
All right.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Anyway, so back to the trip really quickly. It was a great time. We had a blast. Genuinely, it brought us so much closer. And I don't think we've laughed that much in our entire relationship. Like, we laughed so much.
The entire trip.
The entire trip.
Like, you were funny.
Thank you.
You were so funny on that trip. I couldn't believe it. I knew you were funny coming into it. You were saying things that I was like.
It was unhinged, to be honest. I think I was nervous going on the trip because I was like, I have never spent 10 straight days internationally with you. And it ended up being
7 a.m. to midnight. Literally,
like the morning, the right when you wake up, you're like, hello, what are you doing? We meet each other at breakfast. Yep. And yeah, I was nervous because I was like, what if like we don't like each other after mm-hmm. this trip?
I was like, yeah.
I was kind of nervous, but we ended up really liking each other.
No, I feel like we went in as like really, you know, tight homies, but we left like
best bros.
Just like, yeah.
We were always on the same page, the same wavelength. Like we would look at each other and I would be like, I know what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. Or like when I wanted to leave, he wanted to leave and vice versa. Like that's when you know.
Yeah.
Like that's like your person.
Being on that bus every day together, being hot and sweaty every day together, knowing.
We suffered together.
We did suffer together and it was like super fun. But genuinely, I could not have done that trip without you.
Yeah, same. I needed you for sure.
I would never do that trip without you.
Yeah.
Like never.
Yeah, it's hard when you don't have like a person there with you. Yeah. But I still recommend if you can, still do it. 100%. It's really challenging and it grows you in ways and you get to meet really cool people. So yeah. Anyway, it was a good time. We are back. We're jet lagged. I also random side note, I dyed my hair today. So if you're watching the YouTube video, I randomly decided to go lighter and it was way lighter than I was expecting. Like when they,
it looks so good.
When they first started blow drying it, I was having a freak out moment. I was like, oh my gosh, this is way too light, way too light. So I might tone it, but I got back and he like loved my hair. So maybe I'll keep it.
Which I like her dark hair.
But this is for the summertime.
I think was one of the great things about dating you was like, she's not blonde.
Wow.
I just love your dark hair.
That's so sweet.
And so I was super nervous when you were like, I might light it up.
Anyway, that's our introduction, long-winded introduction. And now we're going to go ahead and answer some questions that you guys have. Okay, what is our favorite thing about each other?
Man, that's like such a broad question. My favorite thing about you is if I text you and I'm like, hey, we're going to North Korea. Kim Jong-un wants us to, you know, tour the city. the most dangerous place, go to Southeast. I don't know. You're down. You're always up to like, hey, you want to go get food this way? Let's go play pickleball after. Then we're going to go meet four random people you've never met. I can throw her into any environment and she thrives. I can leave her with anybody. She thrives. I can know that after a long day at work, I'm going to come over to your house and you're going to make me smile so much and make me laugh. So I just think as a whole, you're just a blast. So.
It's so sweet. Thanks, baby. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite thing is, and I even got to see it more on the trip, but I really love just like the way that you treat people. Like we would just be sitting, I mean, in Israel, like we would be exhausted from the day. And I'm sitting there like dragging my feet. I'm so tired. I'm like just trying to get the food in my mouth and go to bed. And Caleb's like having these super deep theological conversations. And he's like, tell me your story to these people. And I'm like, Caleb, it is late. Like, let's go to bed. But I loved that he was willing to go there. He was willing to ask people questions, to be kind. he, just the way you treated people, like that is the type of person like I've always wanted to marry, is someone that treats people well and asks good questions and is intentional. And like so many times I would catch you in like these really great conversations with people. And I really admire that about you. So good job, baby.
Thanks, babe. I remember we were sitting down at dinner and I was talking to a fella who happens to be at a church that they have some stances that I probably don't agree with, but I thought he was a super wise, super nice fella. And I just looked at him and I was like, I have a question. I was like, what's your issue with women preaching? And that started this
spiraled, whole conversation. And I'm just sitting there like,
yeah. And cause my grandma is a pastor and I
speak too. Yeah. So I'm not like a pastor, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. And so like other tables were like listening in.
See people like inching in to listen to the conversation.
Yeah.
Cause that's one thing about Caleb is his dad's an attorney. And so I feel like you have this challenging spirit in you where like, you want to kind of like stir the pot a little bit and you want to ask these like deep intellectual questions and you're willing to like challenge them.
I just want to know why people think why they think it.
Yeah. I think you're similar to like your dad in that.
Yeah.
Is there pressure to get engaged or married right away? No one's pressuring us. Literally nobody.
I think the more thing is like, when is it going to happen?
I'm not really getting any, like people just are like, oh, do you know if he's the one?
Yeah.
That's more people like, do you think it's coming next? But no one's been like, why aren't y'all married? Like no one's done that to me.
But no, I think more just seeing people
comment
at every second we're doing something that's like sort of romantic. They're like, oh, this might be the spot.
Yeah, and I think that's a little annoying.
I don't think it's annoying. I think it's interesting, but I think it's fun. I think people want to see it happen, but just keep. Well,
I think it's fine, but I also think that that could be dangerous, especially on social media when like, people may not know really what's going on. Mm-hmm. And they do that to a lot of people. Like, when are you having a baby? When are you having your next baby? When are you going to buy it? Like, I think it would be smart and safe just to not do that. Because what if someone's like really going through something and the constant comments are just not being beneficial? So no one in our real life is pressuring us in the least. Mm-hmm. Are people curious? Are people constantly asking us? Yes. But the only ones that are like constantly asking is people on social media.
Yeah. I think being the guy in the situation is interesting because, you know, you have in your mind what you want to do, but you have to do it at your own pace and not let that make you feel rushed or whatever. Also expectations, like going into Israel, I didn't want her thinking or whatever, like, oh, this might be the time and the place.
And I kind of thought it would.
Yeah.
It kind of did.
And I didn't want that to ruin the moment. So if people are hyping it up, you kind of feel bad that I knew I wasn't going to propose to you there. So that was funny. But yeah, next question.
What is Janine's best quality? What is Caleb's best quality? Your best quality is, I think you're extremely adaptable. You can handle a lot on your plate. And you don't seem like you're stressing out, even though you low-key admitted like deep down inside, you're like, I'm stressed. I wouldn't know because you're so even keeled. You're so calm versus I'm like a freaking roller coaster. I'm like, oh my God, I'm freaking out. And then one day I'm like, I'm chilling, bro.
I remember one time we got into like a kind of an argument and I like listed all the things that are like are on my plate. And it was like the first time like I ever like
opened up about that.
I was like, I am
stressed.
I'm stressed that you don't understand maybe how much is on my plate because I am pretty even keeled.
Yeah.
I also love responsibility and if nothing was going on, I get bored. And so
I think that's like, I respect that so much because I know that I can pass on a lot of stuff to you. And like, I get actually stressed out pretty easily. Mm-hmm. I get very overwhelmed with the amount of stuff that I have going on in my life. And so sometimes I'll like emotionally dump that on you. And then you just like calm me down.
If I got stressed out too much, this would not work. Yeah. No shot.
Yeah, that's true. It's probably true.
I think your best quality is, I think you're one of the most like empathetic humans I've met. Aww. Perfect point. We're leaving Israel. We've said goodbye to most people and we're at a new airport. A
new terminal.
I already said my goodbyes, everything. So in my head, I'm like, we can leave. Like we're free to go. And where she's like, no, we need to say goodbye again. We need to make sure everyone felt good on their send off.
Yeah.
Where I'm like,
I felt so bad.
Yeah.
Like we ended up getting off the flight and we thought we were going to see them at the next terminal. And I like ran to the bathroom and I went to go get my luggage and we didn't get to see the people. And I felt so guilty that I didn't get to say goodbye and like properly like say goodbye and like make them feel like I cared. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was,
yeah.
I still struggle with that today.
Yeah. Well, if they're watching, we love y'all.
Yeah.
But in my head, I'm like, they're fine. They understand that we didn't do that on purpose.
But I'm also naturally a people pleaser.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I think it's like good because I am a people pleaser, but I care what people think, but I also kind of don't. So I think it's like a good balance to my nature.
Okay. The next question is for you, Kebab, which I call him Kebab.
I've never had a nickname, so that's pretty awesome.
The reason why I call him Kebab is because Kebab starts with a K and his name starts with a K. Okay. So the next question is, is Caleb straight up white or is he mixed like you, Jay? What are you, babe?
So
a lot of people, you're very ambiguous.
I get very, very, very tan in the summer.
Very.
And I turn.
When I first saw him, I was like, ooh, shoddy.
So I joke, she treats me really well from months April, late April to like September. And then I turn back into like a white Chad once. Chad. I turn into,
I don't like the name Chad.
I turn, you know, someone, one of the, we were doing a Shabbat dinner.
Yeah, the nights in Israel.
And he was like so interested about her content creating. And he was like, you'd be good at that. You look like a Chad. And I was like,
he got roasted by an Israelian kid.
I was like, thank you. I'll take that.
That whatever. Was hilarious. I mean, you kind of do because you wear backwards hats a lot.
Yeah. And I think people have a problem with that.
I think they do. People constantly comment about it.
It's like, mind your own freaking business. If I wanted to wear a hat, I can wear a freaking hat. I tell him I had a haircut.
Also, because he needs a haircut pretty badly right now.
Thank you.
But you never addressed the question of what are you?
What was the question?
Are you mixed?
So it's kind of controversial in my family. Because for the longest time, I used to say like I was like pretty heavy Native American. And I guess it's not as high as what I thought it was. So mostly family is Irish and would you say British or English?
Where are they from?
England.
Then yeah, English.
Is that what you say?
Yeah.
So English and my grandpa, I think, is a fourth Native American.
Which is where he gets this lovely tan from.
Yeah. So not sure which tribe he was a part of. I know that they lost like all the documents, so I was never able to prove it. So I wasn't able to get like any scholarships for it.
But your mom and dad are like American. Your grandma and grandpa, they're American.
Yeah.
But you way back then you were saying you were English and Irish?
Yeah. You know the show Downton Abbey?
Never watched it.
So my, if you Downton Abbey fans, my mom's maiden name is Grantham, which is like, I guess in the show. So
that's cool. Yeah. I like that last name.
I think I'm darker than you.
You are. Also, when we were in Israel, I hid in my hat as much as possible. I'm so like
afraid of the, you're like a vampire.
I'm kind of like a vampire.
I think you're a vampire. You're the
most tan vampire. I am trying to protect my skin as much as possible. I'm almost 30. I'm kidding.
Okay, she's
I'll be 30 next March.
When Jay is 70, she's going to look like she's 12.
I literally had any chance I had. Like I would use my bandana and hide my face or my hat. I looked like an idiot.
We were,
and I was fully aware of it, but I was like, I'm going to have good skin when I'm 35 and 40.
We'd be in like the freaking Garden of Bathsheba.
No, baby. Garden of Gethsemane.
I'm joking. We'd be in like Garcinomy, whatever you say.
Gethsemane, baby.
Gethsemane, whatever.
You should know this, Bible college boy.
I do, but I get like a lisp when I say too many letters at the same time. But I would look over and she would like be wrapped in
like a little cloth. Mummy.
And I'm like, what are you? You're in the shade. You don't need to cover your skin.
Yeah, I would hide in the shade at any chance I had.
Which she's so concerned. Every time she sees me, she's like analyzing to see if I have wrinkles.
I kept putting sunscreen on him because the homie never wears sunscreen. Ever. Mm. But yeah, for those who don't know, I'm half German, half Guatemalan. So,
which is so fire.
Moving on.
It's so fire.
Dankeschön, gracias.
It's so fire. She can speak German. She can speak Spanish. I'm like, that's my girl.
Oh, thanks, baby. Anyway, okay, the next question is, does Caleb experience insecurities as a guy? Dun, 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 dun.
If you don't experience insecurity as a
You're dude, lying.
You are a psychopath.
No, they're just lying.
Yeah, or you're a psychopath.
I don't think they're a psychopath. I think they're just lying.
Yeah, for sure. I think that I'm naturally pretty confident, would you say?
Yes.
I used to be so insecure in middle school and high school, like so insecure. And honestly, I think one day I just got tired of it. And I was like, I'm tired of being insecure. And my sister's ex-boyfriend helped me a ton. I love this guy.
There's a reunion we can make happen.
His name was Wyatt Pondexter.
Wow, what a last name. People are going to go look him up now, babe.
Well, he deserves to be looked up. I think he's married now. He's amazing.
Everyone don't look him up.
I can't remember why they broke up. But he just like helped me so much, I think, with confidence, knowing how to lift weights. And he was such a strong Christian. And so just finding my identity in the Lord, finding my identity, and honestly what my friends thought of me became so important. And because I was surrounded by so many good guys and they hyped me up. Of course, I still have my insecurities, but at the end of the day, I'm just like, I can control what I can control.
You told me one of your insecurities the other day.
Oh, yeah. So I had
knee surgery
in 2018, which was pretty severe, like kneecap realignment, cartilage reemplacement. So I have really, really, really bad mobility in my right knee. It's probably, I would say it operates at like 40, 50%.
Really?
Yeah. Aww. So naturally, it's really hard for me to build muscle on my right leg. It's getting better, but at the same time, I'm in a lot of pain pretty frequently. And so, you know.
It prevents your leg days.
I think my upper body's a little bigger than my lower body, which sucks as a dude. But at the same time, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah, you still get it, babe. Wow. This one got a little deep. Struggles with porn. How to only keep eyes on each other.
That's a great question.
Struggles with porn.
That's
and
deep.
How to keep eyes on each other. That's funny because my family was actually talking about porn today. Random thing. But we were all talking about it. We both don't watch it. I used to struggle with it in high school, but not anymore.
I have so many thoughts on porn. I think eventually I want to start some type of ministry. Just, I don't even know how it has to be a ministry, but like helping men and women.
And women. Yeah, women struggle
this. With it. It's been my biggest passion. But I'll let you speak first and kind of give your thoughts on feeling comfortable with dating me, knowing that I don't struggle with porn when we talked about that and everything. Welcome to my podcast. Hey, happy.
You're
healthy.
So serious.
I can.
Well, I don't really know how to address this question because we both don't struggle with porn. I mean, I personally don't. I know as a guy that might be a little bit different.
We were very open about it in the very beginning. But of our
very like literally like fourth date or whatever. Yeah. I don't remember. It was very like the first month of dating, actually.
I think if you're struggling with pornography before you start dating someone, you're going to bring it into your relationship eventually.
Yeah, I think you really got to work on that before getting into marriage or dating because porn has destroyed relationships. I've seen it within, you know, certain marriages of people I know. And it's just not something that makes anybody feel good. And I do, this is a hot take, but I personally think it's cheating because the Bible does say, like, if you even look at a woman with lust, you're committing adultery and you're literally watching someone else have sex with somebody else.
But also, every guy knows from experience, if you've watched pornography, at the end of the day, you think you're gross and it's horrible. No one feels good after it. It's horrible for your brain. It's horrible for your testosterone levels. It's horrible for your anxiety, depression. I mean, take the Bible out of it. It's scientifically.
Exactly. If you even take out any Christian aspect of it, it's been literally statistically and scientifically proven that it's destructive for so many aspects of your mental health, the way you view women, your testosterone levels, as you said. I mean, you're literally bonding to an image. You're bonding to a video. I could go off on a tangent, but I won't. But like, we're not here to condemn. Like, if you do struggle with this, confess it, talk to someone. Don't date people that are addicted. You know, wait for them to get clean and work on that consistently. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, and what he was saying, like, it'll manifest itself into your marriage, your relationship, and the person's essentially cheating on you. But I know it's a legitimate addiction. For some people, like legitimate.
It's stronger than some drugs.
But
I do think I get so fired up about it because I've seen so many men damage women, not get into relationships, damage their marriage because of it. And I think men need to start leading so much better in this.
Yeah.
And
I think women, you are allowed to ask this man if he watches porn.
Very
quickly find that out. And, you know, I'd honestly just say like, hey, I know this is a weird thing to ask, but what are your stances on pornography? Because I personally believe that's not okay. It's not something that I watch, and I would love to date somebody that doesn't. So would you be honest with me if you do struggle with that, or what your history with like that is, and get their take, and hopefully they're honest, and pray that, you know, your discernment would be right. And I think that's what helped me proceed with Caleb moving forward, was knowing that you were celibate, you were trying to be pure. I honestly don't like the word pure. I don't know why, I just don't like it. But
yeah, sounds
cliche. But you were not struggling with that. You didn't watch it. You didn't have a history like in the last years? A lot of years where you didn't watch it, so I could trust you. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad I don't have to go into marriage worrying about that.
There's so much grace. There's so much forgiveness.
Yeah.
And if you do struggle with it,
talk to somebody.
Yeah. Get a hold of it. But I do think that, one of the questions was, how do you keep eyes for each other? I think that's a separate question.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, what would you say? We talked about this the other day, actually, but...
So, I heard from Craig Rochelle when I was in high school, and this has kind of stuck with me. It is morally neutral for you to look at someone and have a thought in your head, oh, that's a pretty person.
Yeah.
Where you go into the gray is the second and the third look. And maybe the first look, you are undressing someone with your eyes.
You're scanning their body. You're like, dang.
You're wondering. You're letting your thoughts run rampant. And I am so blessed and so thankful that I'm so attracted to my girlfriend, but I'm attracted to her, like, inside. It sounds cliche, but like her demeanor, her attitude, her love for the Lord, which allows me, honestly, any girl that I see, if a pretty girl walks by, I just know I'm with the best, and I know that I am so in love.
So sweet.
I'm with the girl of my dreams, and I've seen so many men ruin it. I've seen so many men trade momentary satisfaction over a lifetime of an amazing relationship. Mm-hmm. So I'm just not willing to trade that.
Yeah.
You have to be disciplined. You have to keep your mind on what's right. You have to get in the word. You have to be in prayer. You have to set up good defenses over your eyes, because men are naturally wired to to look.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, like what he just mentioned, like when you get into marriage, I think a lot of people think that you get married and all of a sudden your desire for another person just immediately dissolves or dissipates, which is actually false. We were just talking to someone this past weekend about it. She was a married woman who had been married for 40 years. Her husband recently passed away, which was very sad. And we were asking her, like, hey, what advice do you have for us? And she would talk about that. She was like, you have to know that your attraction to people does not just all of a sudden go away because you're married. It actually sometimes amplifies.
Which sucks.
And it sucks because, yeah, there's beautiful people in the world. So I think you can like just look and be like, okay, that's a good looking person. But again, not letting that linger. And something that I remind myself of is that, like, even if I see an attractive person, I'm like, oh, wow, he's attractive. I remind myself, I'm like, I don't know this guy. I don't know his story. I don't know what he's struggling with. Just because he is attractive doesn't mean anything. Like, he could be the scummiest guy in the world, or you know, like sometimes your mind can wander and be like, was I supposed to be with him, or he's attractive or this? And it's like, you don't know the person. Like, you're only going based off of looks. And I'm so attracted to, same thing with Caleb was saying, like his heart, his spirit, his attitude, his work ethic, his Christianity. I mean, so many things that I'm like, that's what I want. Like, I'm so lucky I get to be attracted to you physically and also mentally and spiritually and all the other things. But you can appreciate someone's beauty and then also be like, okay, that was a good looking person. Okay, next. And just again, like, don't let that linger. And then constantly affirm each other, I think, is really important as well.
That's really good.
I feel really freaking sick. Do you feel sick?
I feel a little run down.
We feel super run down after our trip. Like, my throat, I feel like I want to just sleep for like days. Yeah. Which makes me kind of want to stay in tonight because I don't want to get anyone else sick.
You should have an introverted night tonight.
I don't know. I kind of want to just edit. Okay, the next question is.
But will you?
I think so.
I don't believe you. Guys,
it's so hard for
we'll
me to say
report
no.
Back. I would bet $100,000 that she is hanging out with friends tonight. What's the next question?
What is your job?
What
was that sound?
I think I had a stroke. It's funny because I get notifications quite a bit of
what do you mean?
How many people are viewing my LinkedIn. It's a little weird.
That's weird.
I think
that's
I'm
suspicious.
Getting like a 1,000 profile views like every month now, which is weird. So if you want to offer me a job, offer me a job. No, I'm kidding.
But what's your job?
I love my job now. My boss is watching. I love it. It's great. It's providing me so with so many amazing opportunities, and it's a great job. So right now I am working for a startup. I help place surgeons, doctors, any type of medical provider, to hospitals. And then I also manage their accounts. So I work with hospitals to essentially find out to see if they need providers, need surgeons, whatever type of provider they may be. So that's what I do. So I guess you could say recruiter.
He's in healthcare recruiting.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that for almost a year.
Good job.
Thank you.
Good job, babe. Okay, there's a lot of questions.
And then I also take pictures of this woman.
Also part-time Instagram boyfriend.
I think it's underestimated.
Why?
I don't know. I don't think people realize how much...
It's a lot of work.
How much work it is, but also how much mental fortitude you have to not be embarrassed.
That's also true. Yeah, we're on the freaking Israel trip, and I'm also like low-key like getting secondhand embarrassment for myself because everyone's like listening to him teach, and I'm like, I have to get pictures.
And this is
where...
We're
like in the corner, and he's snapping pictures, and I'm like, this is so awkward, but he just does it.
This is where me not caring what people think really goes...
I didn't really like care that much, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, they think I'm an idiot. They think I'm an idiot. They think I'm a, you know, cliche influencer. I hate that feeling.
For sure.
What are our pet peeves of each other? Oh, I got...
I know all. Can I guess your pet peeves?
Yeah.
I think I naturally just like eat your food and drink your drinks because I do pay for most of our stuff.
Okay, I buy all the groceries. I buy all the groceries because we cook at my house a lot. I'll buy always the groceries. He'll pay when we eat out.
I might eat one meal a week at your house.
Well, there's sometimes where we would do three times a week. But... One of my freaking pet peeves, and he did it freaking yesterday, is he eats and drinks everything so fast. So he just freaking scarfs it down. I like to take my time.
All day.
I'm sipping, I'm slowing, I'm enjoying. And he, without even asking, he'll just reach over and grab my drink. I'm like, excuse me. I'll slap his hand because I'm like, you drank your drink. And he's like, but I want more.
I think you care about me. So I'm just like.
So I'll give it anyway, but I'll get annoyed because. He'll try to, because he drinks his too fast, he'll try to drink mine. And I'm like, I'm enjoying mine. You scarfed yours down.
And I have entitlement.
And I'll get annoyed.
I have entitlement because I'm like, I've spent thousands of dollars in this week.
That doesn't mean you get to eat my food.
No, for sure. But I do think in the back of my brain, I'm like, oh, I paid for dinner.
And
I
he'll just reach, like he'll take his grimy little dirty fingers.
Grimy?
And he'll just reach over and just grab things off my plate that I'm like, we're in a public restaurant.
Okay, so my question is...
Yes?
You don't do that to me, my food and my drink?
No.
You're joking.
Hardly.
Jay.
Caleb. I think you're always the one doing it to me.
Jay. Yes? When have I ever said no to you?
It's been a couple times.
You could seriously count... On your fingers.
He doesn't say no to me very often. I'm not going to lie. You let me get away with way too much.
What do I let you get away with?
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I don't, again, this goes into like, I don't care a ton. I'm just like, oh, if that makes you happy, whatever. But I don't know. I feel like the food thing, yeah, it's something I've struggled with most of my life. I think because I feel like I'm pretty generous. I feel like other people should operate in that same generosity. So I just like, oh my God, it's fine. So I'll do better.
Okay, what's your pet peeve about me?
Man.
Uh-oh. I'm an angel. What do you mean?
I think my pet peeve about you is you can do seven tasks at once and I'll see you start something. I'll see you start something on your phone.
You're just calling on my ADHD. Come on.
Or you'll get distracted by something that does not matter in the present moment. You're like, I have to figure out in 2027, the mailman's going to come over and I have to hand him this pen. And it's like, what?
That sounds about right.
Like, what do you mean? It's so specific.
I really have like ADHD or ADD, whatever it's called.
But things that things will stress you out.
It's like I have 30 tabs open in my brain at all times. Yeah. It really does feel like that. But also I can handle a lot.
It's like that rainbow swirly thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so like nothing sometimes, that sounds rude, but like some things, nothing will get done that day because you're
That's
like
not true. It just focused will get done on in, that it'll one get thing. Done in my order, which might be a little bit more messy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
also,
let's move on.
No, I have one more pet peeve.
Oh, God, I'm scared.
I'm trying to think. Oh, man.
He freaking farts now. He crop dusts me all the time.
Your toots are atrocious, dude. Dude. If you...
this is you. Do the roar.
Bear the roar.
Have you seen that in Trek?
Guys.
Do the roar.
Hang on. I need a moment.
Baby, here. Please don't out me. Please.
Guys. I know she loves Jesus and she's like... You know, you might like her and think she's all sweet and, you know, all the things. This girl, this is how she knows that she can get away with anything with me. So personally, if she has to toot, I'm like, let it go, babe. Like, I don't want you to be cramped up. I know what that feeling is like. And I don't want you to have to go through that. So I'm like, let it go. I don't care what it smells like until I knew. They smell a bit, man.
Okay, we are done talking about this. Okay, stop done. Exposing my bowel movements. Okay, so how do we handle conflict in our relationship? We don't really fight.
We don't fight.
We have this one fight that we have over and over and over. Other than that, we don't fight.
Yeah, which I think it's a
problem. But I think we handle conflict by like, we sit down, we talk about it. We usually pray. Mm-hmm. We pray for each other. We make sure we don't go to bed mad at each other. Mm-hmm. We'll talk through everything thoroughly. Like, we let the person express what they need to express. We don't yell at each other. Okay, the next question is for you, baby. How does Caleb enjoy being in the limelight? Has he adjusted to the blogging / screen time?
I think because we were for 6 months, I never
seven
posted.
Months, 7 months. Yeah.
So I feel like I got pretty used to just, like, her world and her life, and it became pretty normal. So when it happened, it didn't feel like, anything
it was
crazy.
A pretty easy transition, to be honest.
Yeah.
We've been dating for 10 months, by the way.
I think I have so many guys in my life, so many. I can't get away with anything. I can't do anything stupid without being made fun of. So my bros keep me pretty humble. I honestly, it comes with a lot of things that aren't like are actually kind of difficult.
Yeah, that you haven't had to deal with before.
Yeah, so like it's fun in some ways and it's cool in some ways, but on the other hand, like, it comes with a territory. Like, I wouldn't have to think about, if I posted something, all I would have to think about is 1,000 people watching the one thing. Now I'm a representation of maybe her. And so that is interesting and has its own challenges. But for the most part, I like supporting her and it's her passion. I see how much she helps women and all the things. And so however I can get behind her is my goal.
That's so sweet. Thank you. Someone asked me, how did you meet? And so we already made a whole podcast on our story. So go check that out.
My boyfriend struggles with alcohol. How do you guys manage that? And how can I resolve this?
Alcohol. I guess just from our own personal take, we don't drink very much. Like, we'll go to dinner and we'll have a margarita and he'll have an old fashioned, but we never party. We're not going out together. We don't really hang out in environments that would really tempt us. And if there are environments that would tempt us, we typically don't go.
And I really don't like bars. I don't really like to go. I don't like that environment already. So it actually kind of helps me. I do like, you know, to have a drink occasionally with either my really close guy friends or with her. I just really try to watch the environment that I'm in.
And the appearance of it. Like, if I know that there's someone struggling or maybe someone that is looking up to me or they outright are like really struggling with alcohol, like, we want to be careful with that. But that is definitely something to be cautious of like, you're marrying someone potentially or dating someone that might have a problem with alcohol. It doesn't magically resolve. Like, you don't want to marry someone that might potentially be an alcoholic, because I know people that have done that and it has not ended well. So you really want to take caution with that and really encourage him to seek out help and to go to God and have his own accountability apart from just you. And really, I mean, I would strongly advise against marrying this person until they have that resolved for a long period of time, just like the porn
so
stuff.
So dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, marriage doesn't solve things, I promise y'all.
Caleb being younger, how do you let him lead in this relationship?
It's a good question. I just try my best to let you lead. Like, I let you plan the dates. I let you handle things. I just trust you. I trust your discernment. I let you, you lead in prayer a lot. In the beginning, it was actually very, very difficult. I don't think that's something that comes naturally, like, especially as like what you would call like a strong, independent woman that can take care of herself. That's definitely something I've had to like let my own pride down. And I've had to be like, you know what? If I want to have a man take care of me, I've got to allow him to do that. And so do you think I let you lead?
Yeah.
How do you think I let you lead?
I think you wanted me to lead so much in our relationship that honestly, that caused some issues because you're like,
you sounds like here. Forcing you to lead. Yeah.
Yeah. I think in ways you do really well, I think naturally you are. I mean, if you were to write up a strong, independent, you know, I can do it girl, like you are her. But I do think you let me lean into my masculinity without it being like toxic. You let me be a guy. I think that's the biggest thing is like, you don't make me feel bad for being a guy. Cause at the end of the day, I'm a dude and I like sports. I like to work out, lift weights. Sometimes I like being a little, being a bro. And
yeah, you let
me, you let me lean into that. And, but also at the same time, you walk so courageously to Jesus and you have such a strong relationship with him that honestly it sets the bar to which I know I have to go to prayer. I know I have to go to the word. I know to lead you and your environment, what it's like, it takes a lot. And so I won't be able to do that if I'm not chilling with God and letting him lead me, because you're not going to be able to fulfill me fully.
Yeah.
And, that will, you're going to disappoint me at times, vice versa. So I have to let God lead me. And then, you know, but also we're dating, we're not married yet. So like, I have to walk a fine line of like, yes, I'm going to lead, but at the same time, I'm not your husband. So you're going to have to keep leading yourself in a lot of different areas.
Yeah.
And so if your boyfriend, if you're a girlfriend and your boyfriend's just leading the relationship, it's like, you're not married yet. So.
Yeah, that's difficult, but yeah. It is. You got to watch for the signs in dating, but know that like, he isn't called to lead you quite yet. Like, yeah. Like a husband, because he's not your husband,
but
you want to look for those signs. Yeah. Is he not your leader? But you don't necessarily have to submit quite yet because he's not your husband.
What's your favorite love language in each other?
I mean, we're both very physical touch. Like, we love hugging each other. We love kissing. We love holding hands. We love, you know, like cuddling. Like, I think that's definitely it, but I would say, what are the other ones? Physical touch, words of affirmation.
What do you think my favorite love language is?
Probably acts of service.
Okay, so that's that I like giving, but that I like receiving.
Physical touch.
Yeah.
Oh, affirmation?
I think words of affirmation.
I feel like most men want that.
Yeah.
For me, definitely acts of service is so freaking key. And he is the king of acts of service. It's amazing. So I'd say that. And then physical touch. I'd say acts of service first and then physical touch.
Yeah. How do you two view modesty? How do you talk about you wearing crop tops, bikinis, and all the things?
Do you want to talk about this?
Yeah. I think she does a great job. Honestly, I think it's an open conversation, but at the same time, I trust her. Listen, as a dude, and this goes for guys, like, you're looking for a girl to want to be with, you're going to have to rely on her discernment and you can't control everything. So my advice would just be, hey, like, I have to be able to trust you to make wise decisions for us and for yourself. I can't constantly be saying, hey, don't do this, don't wear that, don't do this. That'd be exhausting. If I constantly was like,
nor do as a girlfriend want a boyfriend doing that all the time, like babysitting her.
If I ever have to be like, hey babe, I don't think you should wear that, I just would rather not have to be put in that position. If I do, I'm fine with having to do that, but I don't think you.
But also, here's the thing, is people are going to take this and they're going to be like, oh my gosh, her boyfriend's so controlling. And I don't take it as that. I take that as like, thank you for looking out for me, because sometimes like I'll put things on and I'll go to him and I'll be like, what do you think? Like, is this too much? And I'll use him as a gauge because I know that you know what guys look at and think about. And so I do want to lean on the side of more modesty, but I don't think I do it perfectly. Like, I'm not, you know, Southern Baptist modest, because I still wear leggings. I still wear shorts. I still wear bikinis, but I try to avoid ones that are like a thong or your boobs are fully flying out. I don't have a problem with crop tops. If it's like, for me, I have a short torso. So a crop top really isn't a crop top. It's like a sliver of my stomach showing. I personally don't have a problem with that. I try not to wear booty shorts. Like, I personally just don't want my goodies hanging out. Mm-hmm. I don't feel comfortable with that. I don't like a lot of people staring. I don't really want a lot of guys staring at my butt at the gym. Personally, I don't feel comfortable with that. I do like to tie things around my waist a lot of the times, but if I'm in a good environment, I'm going to wear leggings. Like, I don't care. But even at the airport, or even when I go to his gym, there's a lot of dudes around there. I just don't feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, he hasn't said anything to me. I just don't personally want a lot of guys staring at my butt. So I usually tie things around my waist, and that's how I feel comfortable.
It is a breath of fresh air that you don't find your identity in the way men perceive you, and the way, like, you don't need attention from your body for other men.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank and you. Maybe you have struggled.
It's nice, but I don't need it. Yeah. You know, like, I'd rather you compliment me and you'd be like, wow, you look really good, you know?
Yeah.
But I also know that, again, being on Instagram and an influencer, like, I'm carrying a message with whatever I do. And so I do want to be careful what message and things I'm portraying out there in social media, especially as a Christian. So I do like to err on the more side of, quote unquote, modesty. But as you guys might see from my Instagram, like, occasionally you'll see me wearing things in
Fabletics or something.
Yeah. But I don't personally think wearing a sports bra and a crop top or a whatever is like the worst thing ever, as long as my boobs aren't like sticking out or flopping out or whatever. And I'm not trying to do it in a flashy way, but maybe that's controversial, but that's just kind of how I am.
Yeah.
But I just try to be careful. You know,
I think you do a good job.
Thank you.
Who's more high maintenance?
Me. 100%. I already know it.
What ways am I high maintenance?
I don't know.
I feel like my friends would describe me as pretty high maintenance.
I think out of your friends, you are. A lot of your friends would say you're like a pretty boy, but you're not high maintenance.
Thank you.
I don't think you're high maintenance. I think when it comes to like your morning routine and your food and what you drink and what you eat, they're your high maintenance. You have to get your workout in. You have to get your specific energy drink, your supplements. They're your high maintenance, but otherwise you're never high maintenance.
That's good.
Do we have a favorite date?
I feel like our favorite date. So me personally, I love taking her out to dinner. And so finding
a new restaurant
we've never been. It's like nice and good vibes. The aesthetic is dope. All the things. That's like my favorite thing. So like I would say dinner and then honestly ice cream. Going to find a spot for ice cream after. It's simple, but our conversations are always like the best. We get some ice cream after and then we come back to our house and we watch a movie. I would say like that's my favorite date night. I think I could probably spice it up and doing something different or planning something more. But honestly, in this season, it's been difficult. She's traveling all the time. Yeah. We're gone a lot of weekends. And so it is hard finding moments here and there. But like even in Israel, we found a day to like go get.
That was so fun.
We
went to into the town in Jerusalem and went and found this cute little like winery. We got a glass of wine and some cheese.
On the street
Jerusalem. It was live music. They were playing this authentic Israeli music and it was just so romantic. It was so fun. But I think one of my favorite dates was actually, this sounds really mean, but like it was one I planned.
Wait, which one was that?
It was
that?
The one when I got us Thai food. I got us a blanket. We sat. We sat, had this cute little picnic, and then we like had great conversation. Then we went and played tennis for like an hour together. It was so fun. And then we went home and watched a movie, and I loved it.
You're wild. The one I planned. It was okay.
Hey!
Let's recap that. That date was like fun, but that wasn't.
Oh, the light died.
It's okay.
Well, let's
we're almost done.
The charger. Yeah, we are almost done. We're extending this.
They can
this.
Be fine with a little less lighting towards the end.
Pass through the cable, please.
High maintenance.
But she's. But I honestly, whatever he said too, like I will affirm him in that. He is a great, great date planner.
Yeah.
Every time he's like, dinner's at 7, picking you up, I'm like, yes, king.
We went on a lot more dates in the beginning because I feel like you're trying to really drive conversations all the time. I was spending
a lot of money,
so much money. So a lot of that is, you know, trying to be more wise with eating out and stuff.
Plus and health-wise, we want to cook at home more.
Yeah. I feel like we do such a good job of like spending one-on-one time together and stuff.
Okay. The last question is just how do we incorporate faith into our relationship? Because I think this could be a separate podcast, but something that I talk about is like boundaries within your faith, because you do want to have your own personalized faith apart from the person. So we don't like necessarily sit around and read the Bible together. Like there's been definitely times where like he's reading, I'm reading, but generally we read the Bible separately. We go to church together. We love going to church together. We love getting brunch afterwards. We pray in our relationship a lot. We pray for people. We pray for ourselves. We pray for things we're struggling with.
I'm not sitting there for hours, like praying in depth, Holy Spirit, but like we are like praying over a relationship.
We're praying over people that we know are struggling. We listen to worship music in the car a lot.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like we're not,
I think
we're not like fasting and praying on our hands and knees together. Like, I think that's something that we'll say for marriage.
I find it very interesting when Christians say that couples shouldn't pray together, because as a Christian, it's a reaction.
But that is a hot take.
But hang on.
Depends on what you're praying about.
But my thing is as Christians, we believe in Jesus. It's your whole life is a reaction. And so you're telling me that the most important decision in my entire life is essentially choosing who I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. And it is, you're crossing a spiritual boundary to pray together. I think God is big enough to, if the relationship doesn't work out, that your regret is not going to be that you pray together. Your regret is going to be
you didn't pray,
how you hurt someone, or you sexually, or what you did this, or how you treated someone hard.
Yeah.
You're not going to regret, oh my gosh, we prayed with each other too much. Like,
I do think that
I get there's boundaries, but I do think that, like, I think there's a weird, like,
no, I agree with that. I do think that one's a little bit iffy. Like, obviously you want to have boundaries within, like, frick this light. How quickly you're saying, I love you, or talking about marriage or kids or physicality. Of course, like 100%. But spiritually, I mean, you know, I would typically just say, like, avoid, if you know, like, the person isn't for you, you're, like, only, like, trying to, like, spiritually tie yourself. Like, I think that's where you want to be careful.
Sure.
If you know God is, like, this is not your person, and you're, like, Lord, like, this is in your will. Make this in your will. And God's, like, it's not in my will. Like, I've already told you no. Like, maybe that's a difference. But we don't pray. We're, like, praying, God, bless us that this is from you. Show us the way. We pray for other people. We pray for things we're struggling with. But we're not, like, praying that God would, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Someone asked a question. When you guys say you don't want to over spiritualize your relationship, what do you mean by that?
Like, we don't want to be like, God was the one that, you know, like
God,
we do believe that the Lord,
we don't
want to
manipulate God into decisions.
We're not trying to be like, how do we phrase this?
I think you're called as a, I don't know. I think we're so obsessed, even us, where you're obsessed with your own life and you think that God is...
tells you, like, this is your person, not your person?
I think God maybe can do that. I don't want to put God into a box, but I think some people can just, like, do too much. You know what I mean? I think there's just some...
I don't really know how to phrase this. I think that we're just trying to... We do feel like the Lord has spoken in our relationship quite a bit, but ultimately we both have free will. We choose each other. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of where we're going, is like, yes, God can show you things, and we do believe that God can speak, and we'll share that story more down the road. But ultimately we are choosing each other. You know, I think that's because a lot of people were like, and I saw his name in the clouds and the Lord told me, which totally God can 100% do, but it's, you have to choose the person still at the end of the day.
Yeah. There's like scripture that talks about, be careful on, like, trying to look for signs too much. And I think that, you know, we can do as Christians. But anyway.
Why do you like me so much? Tell my followers why you picked me. Because a lot of them, they keep DMing you and they're like, don't hurt her. Thank you guys for looking out for
me. Don't hurt me.
I'm not trying to.
I'm not trying
to. Why did you pick me, baby?
Okay, then I have one question for you after.
Oh, no.
Why did I pick you? Honestly.
Also, this podcast is getting long.
Okay, that's a hot take I have.
No, I know what you're going to say. Yes,
it's not getting long. An hour and 8 minutes is not long. No, it's not long.
It's long.
Why I like you so much.
This isn't, I'm not like trying to be like, I'm not really like, oh my God, gas me up. But I think people really do want to know why you picked me.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. So that's,
I'm so tired.
I just want to hang with you, dude.
Oh,
I just want to laugh with you, dude. It's all I ever wanted. It's all I ever wanted. Tell them the story.
That's a stupid inside. I'm getting delirious. He always says that, and he knows. He knows he's going to get an automatic laugh. He'll look at me and he'll go, it's all you ever wanted.
If I ever like, so like my puppy face, like if like I want her to rub my shoulders or something, I'll just go, I kind of talk in a baby voice and I'll go, it's all I ever wanted.
Unreal.
So why I chose you, I've been picky my entire life. Honestly, I should have been picking cherries or picking apples or something.
This is going long.
It's going to be cut it out, too. It's
cut it?
Cut it.
It's not a word, baby.
You keep me laughing. You make me laugh more than any other Your human mom? Has ever. Again, you've done. Made me laugh. You make me laugh more than any other human. I mean, the cliche answer why I like you so much is I think you would be a great mom. I think you could lead well, my children well. I think you could... I think you lead very well in different ways. I think you're someone that I could spend the rest of my life with and just be so content and so happy and never have to think about, could I do better?
Oh, that's so, so sweet.
Knowing I won't have to think about, could I do better? Because I know I got the best. Not by anything that you do or have done, but by genuinely, like I'm rocking with my best friend. And I love all the things we get to do together. I think you're so attractive. So attractive. Like, so attractive.
Thank you.
And that helps in different ways. But at the end of the day, I know what I've prayed for. This has been a lot. I mean, this has been almost a whole year. And I'd be lying if I said this has been easy. But, you know, Jordan Peterson... He says, you know, it takes a courageous warrior and a man to like actually like lead and pursue a relationship, especially when you're young.
Yeah.
Because, you know, most guys don't want to get married when they're 24. And I don't take that lightly.
Someone asked me, is he ready for marriage? And yeah. He's so freaking ready. He's been ready for marriage way before I was. I was the one that was like, I'm scared because I've been through a lot.
When I was born, so I was born premature. Which is a kind of a testament, I think, to my life. And was born premature. My lungs weren't fully developed. I was in ICU for almost a month. I wasn't supposed to live.
Poor baby.
And we had a pastor come over and pray for me. And this pastor prophesied over my life. And they said that I would be 10 years ahead of my age.
He's really actually 34.
Exactly. But like, that's how I've always felt. Since a kid, I was always wanting to be with the grown-ups. I never wanted to go to children's church. I wanted to be with people who were wiser, who were older. And so when she was older, I was like, oh.
And that's why, like, I dated him, because he does act like that. Like, you don't act like a cliche 24-year-old. And, like, I think also what's fun is, like, he does bring out this kid in me, and I don't notice your age at all. And we have so much fun together, and, like, you're very mature. So I would say that is correct.
Thank you, babe.
Anyway, that is our podcast.
Amazing.
Thank you for coming on my podcast, Caleb.
Thank you for having me on my podcast, Janine. It's all I ever wanted.
Shut it. Everyone, tell him to stop saying, it's all I ever wanted. I'm just kidding. You can say it, baby.
She talks in a baby voice to me.
I do. That's when you know this is your person, because I tried. Okay, can I say something?
Is it?
No, I'll say it. You know that you found the person when you can talk in a baby voice and they like it. Maddie and Grant, I remember when Maddie lived with me, she was talking baby voice to Grant, and I was like, shut the frick up. But
you need to be careful with frick. It sounds like you said the F word.
Okay, shut the poop up. That was cute, and they liked that. And I remember also kind of being like, dang, like,
some couples,
why can't I talk in a baby voice? And now I can, and he likes it. So now I get why Maddie and Grant did that.
It's not this weird thing that I like when she talks in a baby voice. I just think that when you're in a relationship, like, your inner child gets brought out, and you just, like, you don't care, and you're being weird, and so.
Anyway.
But thank you guys for listening. Thank you for watching. It's all I ever wanted, and I hope you.
That's going to be your podcast, Jimmy, All I Ever Wanted.
All I Ever Wanted.
All I Ever Wanted by Caleb Ward. Anyway, thank you guys for hanging out with us for an hour and 15 minutes. This was a very long podcast, probably my longer episode.
This is not long.
It's long. I'm getting into my crazy zone with you. Thank you guys for hanging out. Let us know if you have any more thoughts or questions. We hope this cleared the air on anything. And yeah, let us know when you are listening. You can tag me or Happy and Healthy Podcast on Instagram. I always repost them. Comment down below. And you can always hang out with me on Instagram, Janina Mapola. We post a lot what we're doing on there. So you can hang out with us on there. And I'm going to be posting Israel vlogs. So stay tuned for that on my YouTube channel, Janina Mapola. Anything else you want to say, babe?
No. I think I'm good.
Well, if you listen to the whole thing,
I feel sick.
I appreciate you. We both feel very sick and run down. I think I need to take a nap. My jet lag is severely punishing me right now.
She always looks back at me like this.
Hello. Anyway, thank you guys for listening to today's episode of Happy and Healthy. I will see you guys again next week for another episode of Happy and Healthy. But until then, stay happy and healthy.
Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Love you guys. Thanks for listening. Bye, y'all.